Hey listeners, Moshi here. Haven't had to do one of these before. You know, sometimes Patrizia and I get a little bit unhinged, a little bit crazy. Well, I'm going to pop a little content warning on this episode because we get very, very crass. If you have sensitive ears and not really down for unhinged behavior, this probably isn't the episode for you. While there are some just very wholesome moments when we do get a little bit Patrizia after dark, we go all in. All right. Thanks for listening to the pod. Hello.
Hi, Amore.
And welcome to another episode of
From the Lower Level.
I'm your host, Moshi.
I'm Patrizio. Moshi, we had a long weekend in the lower level this week. It was Mary Cosby's most sacred holiday,
okay.
The rising of Jesus Christ.
The death and the rising.
The death and resurrection. The memes have been memeing.
They really have.
But I used this long weekend to listen to our podcasts. I know that you often accuse me.
I don't believe you. I do not believe you.
Well.
Not the podcast has risen. What?
As I have listened to the podcast.
Okay, I know it's bullshit.
As I have listened to the podcast, on the episodes I am not there, it's fuck Patrizio. Patrizio is an imp. The devil. Patrizio is evil. Raggedy ass. Patrizio should be fired. Moshi.
He just speaks to your face.
All true.
I say those things to your face. The listeners of hell are shocked that you're still even part of this podcast. You've been fired so many times.
I need a tissue.
Well, it's clear you still haven't listened to the podcast. I'm glad. You know what? Never change. Never listen to it.
I won't.
Okay, good.
I don't need to listen to it. I'm here when it's recorded.
Apparently. This week, we are still in the midst of our housewives drought.
It's a crisis.
It really is a crisis at this point.
Bethany is about 3 minutes from, like, shipping in a private jet full of, like, housewives to save us.
Just to say, you know what? If she did, I wouldn't be against it. But we're pretty lucky. We've been able to expand our horizons. And as promised, we are finally talking about The Real Housewives of Cheshire. Season 17, episode 1, launched a couple of weeks ago. We're getting like a week's delay here in the lower level at the moment, which is fine. So this week, we're going to be talking all about the first episode of season 17. We're also going to be talking about the two-part Pride special, which wrapped up season 16. But as with all good things that never end, what is the word on the street? What are the girlies up to while we're in the drought?
Right. Word on the street, Moshi, is in Sydney, Nicole is out for next season.
Captain Eyebrows. Is that her name? Is that the one?
Captain Eyebrows. I mean, she didn't show up to the reunion and now she's out for the next season. Do we believe this word on the street?
Yes, I heard she got like a spanking for not coming to the reunion. Like, this is her punishment.
Are we losing anything here?
No. It has to do, I don't know if you heard this. So you remember like all the shit that went down in Tokyo?
Yes.
How like it was like she didn't show up on the last day of the Tokyo trip as well, and they were all like she'd gone home. Apparently she never went home. She was still in Tokyo the whole time. She just was like refusing to film with the girls. And that's the reason why she's been fired.
That's big Patrizio energy.
I'm really shocked though, because I think like up until that point, I think she'd had like a really good season. And it was actually really good to see her kind of come out of her shell. Like, if they're getting rid of her, they need to put in another Lebanese princess.
Do we not already have enough Lebanese princesses?
On the new Sydney, who's the other Lebanese princess?
Moshi. The one that I can't remember right now.
Exactly, because there's no other Lebanese
princess. No, the MVP.
Who?
What's her name?
I can't deal with you right now. There's no other Lebanese princess.
Chrissy Marsh is Lebanese.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is. That her and Nicole are cousins.
No, but I don't think they're cousins in that way. Chrissy Marsh is not Lebanese.
Yes, she is.
You met her mum. She's not.
She's Lebo.
That is a lie. That is a lie and a half.
Chrissy Marsh is Lebanese.
Oh, I'm going to the internet.
Okay, we're being fact checked. This is a live fact checking right now.
I mean, continue with the word on the street. I'll come back to you.
No, I can't right now. We need to squash this right now.
Squash?
Why would you be cousins with someone if you're not actually related?
Because she's half. What's her face is only half Lebanese. She's not full.
Well, whatever, you know, Nicole's half and Chrissy's half are both Lebanese.
No, I don't believe you.
I'm telling you, you need to rewatch season one of Sydney. Chrissy Marsh is a big old Lebanese lady.
All right, I'm checking now. Give me just a moment.
Please hold everyone while we fact check. This is, you know, not unheard of, us live checking here on the on the podcast.
Nowhere does it say that she is Lebanese.
Wallah, I swear.
Wallah, nothing, Habibi. Meanwhile, Nicole is Swedish and Lebanese. So I think they're related on the Swedish side. And also, I thought that they were cousins through Chrissy's husband, not together.
So maybe Chrissy Marsh's husband is Lebanese.
He's not. You are wrong.
I'm telling you, this woman is Lebanese.
Let's move on and we'll come back next.
You can't tell me she's not a fiery, like, Middle Eastern / Southern European lady.
A fucking bogan. She's not Lebanese. Anyway, I'm telling you right now, we're going to need a week to do some. I'm going through the ancestry.com here, the 23s and me's. I'm pulling up hair out of the follicles. I am getting it sent off because this is going to drive me crazy. The only one who is of Lebanese heritage is Nicole.
Okay. So Chrissy Marsh may have grown up in Queensland. Her husband, Johnny. Like, yeah, okay. It's not looking great.
Okay. So Chrissy and Nicole are cousins because Nicole's sister, hang on, this is from an interview with Nicole O'Neill. I've always been very good friends with Chrissy because her sister, Chrissy's sister, is married to my cousin.
Here I am. I am thinking Chrissy Marsh.
I am citing the Sydney Morning Herald in a conversation done with Kate Waterhouse, the daughter of the Gail Waterhouse, April 4th, 2017 at 10:45 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Daylight Savings Time. The headline is Real Housewives' Nicole O'Neill Talks Real Life Misconceptions and Photoshocks. You are wrong.
I thought you were going to say the headline was Chrissy Marsh, not Lebanese.
Well, in parentheses, that's what it is. All right, Habibi.
The way I have been standing Chrissy Marsh as my, like, Lebanese queen for years.
What's wrong with you? You're an idiot.
I heard cousins and my mind went there.
All right, let's move on. Wow, the way we are just fighting, the drought is causing us to fight.
Last week, no sooner had we finished this podcast recording that the very low budget teaser came out that the Roni girls are all confirmed to be coming back. And I feel like the biggest scoop of it all was Jenna Lyons is back for another season. However, she has struck an agreement with Bravo and production that she will not be featuring her new fiance, yeah, wife, girlfriend, partner on the show.
Yeah. No, good for her. I mean, it just means that people won't like her as much anymore. It's so funny that you say that, how low budget that little teaser with everybody on the phone. Because who's the one that I don't like? Speaking of people I can't remember, what's her face? Tribeca.
Yeah, the other one. Yeah, anyway, we know who you're talking about, Moshi.
You know how they were all supposed to be on a phone call? And if you go back and watch it, she's not on a phone call at the beginning. And then like halfway through, she remembers that she needs to be on a phone call. So suddenly she's on a phone. It's so bad.
I think so. I mean, yeah, like what was the point of bringing Jenna Lyons back, right? If she's not going to give us what we wanted, which was this new relationship that she's in. But the conversation is, Moshi, like, does this set a dangerous precedent now that like housewives can try to negotiate their way out of showing parts of their lives and, you know, continue on the show?
Yes. But they have to be willing to give us access to something else that we can't normally get. And that's why I think Jenna is able to do that. Because if there's one thing that we know off the back of her first season of Roni, there was a Jenna, I was trying to make like a fun pun, but there's like a Jenna Lyons renaissance, right? She suddenly was back at the top of the A-list. She was flying back to Europe for the fashion shows. Like, she was the talk of the town again. So I think although she's not going to give us her partner, I think she is going to give us exclusive access to parties we normally wouldn't get access to fashion people we wouldn't normally get access to. Like, imagine if she can bring Anna Wintour on the screen, even for 2 seconds. Tinsley couldn't do it.
What's the benefit to Jenna Lyons? You know, you just said she's in her renaissance. Mm. You know, she made one appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I feel like that only happened after the H&N finally sort of like called it out that she hadn't been on all season. She didn't show up to BravoCon in Vegas. Like, she is doing the bare minimum for the network. Like, what's in it for her?
Money.
Is it that much money, do you think?
Patricia, I don't know if you've noticed, but we are in an economic downturn. Like, it doesn't matter how much money you have right now, everybody is hoarding as much money as they possibly can. And I think everybody, even Jenna Lyons, needs a consistent paycheck. She's got a family to feed. Her life, as much as, like, I'm sure she gets a lot of free things, it still costs her to fund her life, right? So I think, like, it's a stable paycheck. I don't know, who else were we talking about recently? And I was like, you know, people who don't really need to be on the show. I can't remember. But, yeah, it's a paycheck.
Most of these women.
No, they all need a stable income. You need something guaranteed. Like, if she can say, I'm going to do Housewives and it's a guaranteed, you know, $500,000 for the year or something. Like, that's one less thing you have to worry about.
Interesting. Well, I guess filming will start soon and we'll have to see whether there are new Housewives or old ones return.
I don't think we'll get old ones, but there are rumors that we'll get at least one new housewife in the group.
Is there anyone else that you were surprised is coming back out of the six?
What's her face? We were told that the way we can't remember people's names today.
The way these people are just completely irrelevant to our lives.
Totally irrelevant. What's her face?
You know, Sai De Silva.
Sai De Silva. I'm surprised that she's back, but again, regular paycheck. Has an opportunity to keep her name in her mouth. One thing, though, that I think is going to be different about their next season together is I think post the show, like there was obviously what their expectations of what they were going to be like on the show before the show aired. Then the reality of the show happened and aired, and a lot of things were turned on their head. Like, Jessel became like the standout of the show. Her popularity has become unmatched, right? So I think that the power dynamics have changed. I think they're also now like so much more aware. Like, I think Sai is going to be very much aware of what her public persona is. And I think we're going to see a different side to her. And I think we're going to see them as a group gel a little bit more, because now that like that first bit of filming has ended, they've had to do all the promo. They now have a chance and they've heard all the critiques and stuff. I think there is kind of like, I hate to say it, but like a trauma bond of sorts that is going to bring them together. They are now realizing they're part of an ensemble and that they all need each other. And so I think the dynamics for season two are going to be a little bit different. I'm interested to see how they play out.
I just feel like Sai and Aaron are going to be on this, like, trying to redeem themselves, and it's just going to come off as fake and phony.
100%.
All right, moving on. Dr. Nicole from Miami gave birth to baby Genevieve.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Genevieve and Grayson. Their babies both start with G. I love it.
Really beautiful. All right, but this is the real word on the street this week, Moshi. Mm-hmm. Dorinda Deadly on Twitter.
Obsessed with that account.
tweeted today.
Can I say Dorinda Deadly and Yolanda Fister are like probably my favorite meme accounts at the moment.
Did you know there's actually, speaking of word on the stream, H-Anon says that Dorinda Deadly is actually Queens of Bravo.
I believe that. I believe that that's a possibility, but they're branded differently. Like, Dorinda Deadly is like more bitchy, sarcastic, you know, like absolutely unhinged. And Queens of Bravo is like giving you the news.
So Dorinda Deadly quoted today, Taylor Armstrong confirms to GQ that she dated Kyle Richards for about 5 months in 2016. She says the two are friends now. She's family no matter what.
Hey, can I ask you something? What date was that posted?
Literally the 4th of April.
Not the 1st of April?
No, and this is what the people are like, okay, April Fool's is over. This is the best part though. 6 hours after Dorinda Deadly tweeted it, Taylor Armstrong tweets in reply and says, "This is complete bullshit. Kyle is like family to me and always has been. I never said this, thought this, or experienced this. Lies, lies, lies. Hashtag RHOBH."
It's so unhinged. Honestly, I don't care what Taylor has to say. I want to know what Teddy has to say. I want to know if Teddy is like heartbroken.
I just love that Taylor Armstrong was compelled to respond to Dorinda Deadly, who for like all of April Fool's was just like coming out with the most outrageous bullshit.
It's so good. Oh. Hey, can, like, I tell you something? Are you watching Selling Beverly Hills?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So I spent some time catching up on it this week. Actually, I finished it. What am I saying? And it's quite interesting that it's not until like the last couple of episodes that the stuff comes out about Mauricio and Kyle. But there is, I don't know if you've seen that meme. Like, it's not a meme, but there's like a clip going around of like Kyle on her bike, like cycling into their driveway in Aspen just with the Hermes bags.
No.
And it's just, it's so insane that I can't describe it, but Kyle comes off so much better on Selling Beverly Hills than she does on Real Housewives. And it's much more interesting as well to get her kids' actual reaction to what's going on. But just this video of like Kyle on her bike riding in with Hermes is so unhinged to me. I just don't know why. It's so insane. And I love it. It's very iconic.
I just want to say on the Dorinda Deadly April Fool's of it all, like there were some real bangers. It was like Mary and Meredith have unfollowed each other.
Oh, I saw that.
Gretchen, Rossi, and Slade Smiley are officially married.
How are they not married? Surely they're married.
No, they're not married.
Oh, she really doesn't want him to get her money.
100%. Six time is the charm. Hashtag R-H-O-D.
No.
It was just very funny to me.
Oh, my goodness. I'm really surprised we didn't put out any April Fool's jokes, but it's because, like, I just told everyone not to believe anything that they read. Like, the way I am so gullible that now when the 1st of April comes, I'm just like, don't talk to me. I don't want to hear your lies. I don't want to know your deception. And then to have Mercury in retrograde literally fall the next day, like, uh-uh.
The worst part is on the lower level because we're like a whole day in advance. We have to go through the April Fools of it all and
so
then
many
wake
times.
Up to more lies on the internet.
But like 48 hours of lies.
It's insane.
People don't understand. Anyway, what else is going on the street?
The OC ladies were spotted on a plane going to London. They're doing their obviously final cast trip of the season in the UK.
Weird flex to go to London.
I was thinking about it though, because like I feel like traditionally cast trips on Housewives franchises have generally been to quite like affordable locations. Like I feel like the only women who really go to like the glitzy places are like Beverly Hills. Like they've done like the Paris trip and stuff, right?
Yeah, they go to Europe.
So for OC to go to London, I feel like was a bit of a flex.
Them going to Ireland was a flex.
But Ireland is like, I feel like a relatively affordable trip.
No, it's still euros. It's expensive.
Yeah, it's euros, but
to be fair, the US has like currently the what is it, the most dominant currency. So who cares?
I wonder why they're going to London, you know.
Yeah, I'm just like Kate's been found. Like what are they going for?
My God, they're going with Meghan King Edmonds to find Princess Kate.
Jesus Christ.
Well, they didn't know that she would be found when they booked the tickets, okay? Now they're just going to make a trip out of it. Just to wrap up, word on the street, Salt Lake City is now on Netflix, season one.
I think it's the best, aside from like Beverly Hills is already on there. There's a couple of Below Decks. Like it's very interesting what they put on Netflix and what they don't. But for Salt Lake City to be put on Netflix, hilarious. I don't know if I've already started seeing people like, because we're so many years into it, but people just for the first time finding out that Mary Cosby is married to her step-grandfather and just getting to go through all those core memories all over again and watching people, like, completely spin out, it's very exciting, Patty.
I love that for you.
Why don't you love it for us? People might start returning to old episodes of our podcast, you weirdo. This is fabulous.
I look forward to seeing the uptick.
Whatever. It's wasted on you. I'm done. I'm done with you. At this point, I want you fired. At this point, you are the devil.
There it is, listeners.
But you've heard it now. Like I said, I say it all to your face.
Well, Moshi, before this goes off any worse, let's get into the return of our favourite UK girlies, Real Housewives of Cheshire. We're up to season 17. Episode 1 came out at some point in the last 2 weeks, depending on where you are and what you're watching it on. I love these girlies.
Yeah, I thought it'd be really good for us to talk. I think people who have listened to us consistently, we're not very consistent, will probably know that we love Cheshire. But for anybody who might be new to our pod, I don't know, welcome, hello, we love you. I think we should talk a little bit about why it's important that we talk about Cheshire. And it's not just to fill in the drought. We genuinely love this franchise.
Yeah, it's had some rough seasons of late, though. The COVID's really done it in.
Oh, 100%. But I feel like Cheshire was Cheshire one of the first things that we bonded over when we first met?
No, I was a late adapter.
And I got you onto it, and then you did like the full watch, right?
Yeah, I've watched it from season one. I had to do the catch up. I mean, look, those early seasons, the first two seasons of Cheshire were chef's kiss. It was us being introduced to like some really iconic women, Justice for Magali.
You know how I feel about Magali, but I think what made these, it, for me, it was like very stereotypical because originally the premise for Cheshire was that they were all wags, so wives and girlfriends of soccer players, football players. And the interesting thing is like I think all of their husbands were retired. And so it's this whole thing of all these four, because none of them, like hardly any of them are originally from Cheshire or originally from like Northern England, so to speak. They all come from all different parts of the world. And Cheshire has sort of become a bit of this magnet place where there is all these ex-footballers. And so there's like this group of wags, so to speak, or of the like socialites at the time, all sort of living in this like beautiful, gorgeous, idyllic part of Northern England and creating this community. And you have all of these women now who are like, you know, their kids are all grown or whatever, and they're all like starting estheticians businesses and like med spas, and it's like very clicky and very specific, right?
Thought that like Cheshire was like part of like the Golden Triangle in the UK or something.
I don't know if I would refer to it as the Golden Triangle. It's like it's become like a destination place. So once you have a bit of coin, you would move from wherever you normally were. Like you were from the south of London, you were from Essex, like take Nicole, who's not one of the OGs, but she's been on the show for a few seasons. You know, Essex is pretty gorgeous as well. Moving from Essex and moving to Cheshire, and that's how you kind of show that you've got a bit of dosh, that you've made it. So there, and that's the thing that's really funny. Like the equivalent in Australia would be cashed up bogans, right? People who come from a bit of rough, all move, like even, you know, someone like Tanya Bardsley coming from like Manchester and moving to Cheshire. It's like, it's a class thing. But the thing is they can't shake off their working classness, you know?
It's giving Chrissy Marsh.
Yes. And that's why it's so funny. It's like, it really is this thing where all these working class people are now in this sort of middle class, upper class, because class is like really what it's all about in the UK. And they're just still, you know, very trashy. And you just put them all in together and, you know, they all want to be the HBIC and, oh, just brilliant, just brilliant.
I think of the group, Lauren is the only one that's actually from Cheshire originally. And then Tanya's like from like Liverpool.
She's from Manchester.
Oh, is she? I thought she was from Liverpool.
She's still a northerner. No, she's from Manchester. But the thing that I love about Tanya is so quintessential, like the 90s, 2000s. She's like a former FHM Page Six model, like the big boobs, the big lips, but is like not a bimbo. Like she's so fucking funny. She's like the comedic relief. It's just, they're all real characters, right?
They are. And I mean, like, we haven't even mentioned Dawn Ward.
She's like the OG. She's the Vicky Gunvalson of Cheshire.
Truly. And I feel like she is, I mean, in all these women that you're talking about, like the wag of it all, like she is, I think, like the total personification. Like they bought like some rich old like estate in Cheshire and the house is basically a castle. And then she's like, you know, got in the cars and all the rest of it and just raised the kids.
She sounds like she smokes like 12 packets of cigarettes a day.
Allegedly she does.
Yeah, I think she does. But then the beauty of it is like her daughter, who I think it's like Darby, one of her daughters, who has like a really posh accent. And Dawn is so, like in the early episodes, Dawn is so proud of the fact that her daughter has this like really posh accent. It's very funny.
Because like that, they've got the money to send them off to like boarding school, yeah. So they can have a bit of like deportment and like all the rest of it.
But it is that kind of, you know, upstairs, downstairs. Like for me, it's a really great meditation or essay on like when we put our scholarly hats, because we are scholars. It is a really interesting look into like how class works, I think, particularly in the UK, and this kind of, you know, people pulling themselves up by their bootstraps, and then they're in this position where they no longer have like the football money or the soccer money, and it's like, how do they maintain that wealth, you know? And you're starting to see a lot of the women predominantly in Cheshire are the ones who are going into businesses. But then as the seasons roll on, we also start to have the quote-unquote gold diggers. You know, we have like an Esther D who is like, calling her a gold digger just seems like redundant, because she is iconic and deserves to be the person that she is.
Esther D, like her whole storyline though, like it wasn't that just that she was like a gold digger. It was that she was like having like, she had like multiple men going at like one time, and she like had daddy and she had her husband, and the baby wasn't like, it was just like, it was a whole thing.
And she's come out on top. Like she's once again with like this hot guy, and she's like posing on Playboy.
He's rich as fuck. He lives in Gibraltar. Like, I don't think all Esther ever posts on Instagram these days is like her daughter, who's now like basically like at university, her photos from like the Emirates flights that she's always on, and then like her and Mr. D, who are always like naked and like doing stuff. They're like, oh, they're just having a lot of hot sex, I think.
I know, and it's amazing. And I think the other thing that I really love is everybody's fake teeth. Like the veneers are out of this world. There is not one person on that show that, number one, has their own original face, has their own original teeth, has their own original tits. And the thing that I love is they don't try to hide it. They are openly like, yeah, I've had this done, that done, everything done. No, it's kind of brilliant.
I just want to go back a second as well. Esther D's mum. She was kind of iconic also.
She was definitely iconic.
She was like the unofficial like 12th housewife on some of those seasons.
But never forget when Esther was like living in Dawn's guest house. Like the things that happened on this show are so weird.
I like, it's jumping a little bit ahead though. I will say that these women, not only have they all like admitted to all the work they've had done, I think that they all look fucking good as well. Like,
yeah, 100%.
There's a lot of housewives in the housewives, the wider housewives universe, that like have work done, and you look at them and you're like, oh, like not great, right? I think we've always been like the Luanns of the franchises are like stunning. She hasn't aged. We actually like, you wouldn't, looking at her, you're like, when was her last like facelift? Like I wouldn't even know, kind of thing. And I feel like the Cheshire women are kind of almost in that same like band.
What, they bring us in for the facelifts. We've been there for all of Lauren's facelifts. We were in the room while it was happening.
I love Lauren.
I love Lauren too.
When I think it was like season 8 or something, she like revealed that she had fucked a ghost. Or had the ghost fucked her, I suppose. Like Lauren has truly just had the most insane like arc. Like she was married, then she got divorced, and she's been single. And then she had like the dad who was like that rocker who was like living in Spain, and then he died. And then like, it's just, she's been through it all, and she just is so like unserious.
Unserious is like the best way to describe these women. And when they do kick off, it is absolutely insane. But all of this is to say, when we talk about like franchises, they all need to have their own very unique DNA. And especially when you start moving beyond Bravo, you know, it's the same reason people loved Melbourne all over the world, is it has its own very unique DNA. And The Real Housewives of Cheshire, I think it's like the longest running continuous Housewives franchise outside of the Bravo universe that exists anywhere else in the world. Now, I mean, it is
partly helped by the fact that the UK reality TV scene runs 12 seasons a year.
And I was just about to say it's season 17, but it's probably only been about 10 years. And I think they're really nice to watch because they are shorter seasons. Like it's about 12 episodes or whatever. But if you've never watched The Real Housewives of Cheshire, it is totally worth tracking down. It will be unlike anything else you have ever watched before. And it's just a real madcap of characters is the best way I can describe it. But you just talking about Lauren having sex with a ghost, I think is the perfect way to kick off the discussion about season 17 and talking about the Pride episode. Because on season 17, they start off with a little girl's trip getaway and they are somewhere in the UK in a castle. And what I love is that they always reference back. And early on, they make a joke about whether or not Lauren will get lucky in the castle when they talk about whether or not it's haunted. And I was just like, what is amazing? Like, that is the stuff. If you're going to give me a show about nothing, that's the stuff that I want to see and I want to hear.
It was, I feel like this season already feels fresh. Like, I think it's really had some tough recent seasons. There's been a lot of like housewives that have only lasted like one or two seasons. It really suffered through COVID. Like, and I think the one criticism that I truly do have of Cheshire as well is that it does feel slightly scripted. Like it is
100%. Yeah, it's
overly produced. The confessionals, I think the one thing that they could really do to like improve Cheshire would be to like let the women have at it in the confessionals, because you can tell some of the women are like reading the lines in the confessionals.
Oh yeah, they tend to make a lot of witty jokes in their confessionals, and I hate to say it, a lot of them aren't smart enough to be coming up with those sorts of jokes. But I think it is very much like the way you talk about like Salt Lake City, like watching it as satire. I think that part of the DNA of this show and what makes it so interesting is that kind of British sense of humor and that taking the piss, which is the best way that I can describe the types of jokes that they make. Like on their confessionals are all about just making fun of each other. They don't always get to the heart of it.
Oh, it is so surface level. Like, I don't think that any season of like Cheshire has ever gotten any deeper than like, you know, one layer of the onion.
I don't agree with you because I do think that on the show, they get angry at each other and they have feuds. These women are in a merry-go-round of hating each other all the time.
I feel like in 10 episodes per season and then like it's usually like a one episode reunion, there just isn't enough time. And there's so many women as well. Like each season always has like 8 to 9 housewives. it's not enough to actually get into anything in any sort of like detail. Like no sooner have they like fought with each other, it's either quashed or just like, it's like, I don't even remember why you're angry at each other anymore.
But I will say that I think this time around a tide is turning. And I think the tide is turning because for the first time in a long time, like actually one of the things I will say about Cheshire is they keep the core group for as long as they can. And they've introduced another housewife this season who, well, she came in last season, but she is really put a bee in the bonnet of one of the housewives. But before we dive into that, do you want to talk a bit about the Pride special first?
I feel like the Pride, there were two episodes. They kind of got put at the end of season 16, even though I think it aired months after. To me, I was like watching it like it was Ultimate Girls Trip Cheshire Edition.
100%.
Because the housewives I don't care for weren't there, and they brought back the housewives from the dead that I like needed back on my TV.
Like who?
Peekaboo, Ampika. Ampika was back. Esther D was back. Nick and Royston, the two unofficial like housewives of Cheshire.
And I think that's the other thing that I really liked about the Pride episodes is, so yes, there's the main housewives, and I know we're used to like Friends of and stuff, but there are a cast of other characters who I feel like on Cheshire, they're not afraid to like actually let them have more screen time. So Nick and Royston are a couple who've been on the show since season one. They were introduced by Dawn Ward. They run like this hairdressing salon, like very popular, I guess it was. It was one of the popular hairdressers of the time in Cheshire. And they've been together as a couple for like 30 years or something, 40 years. Just like, and they also constantly have new faces and are kind of like out there and partying. But they have allowed Nick and Royston to be on this show. And I think obviously that it's a bit more special having them on the Pride episode, but even without Dawn there, they've been in many seasons. They've been able to throw events. And I feel like that's something, maybe it happened on like Atlanta, I would say, with like, you know, the gays in Atlanta. But I just haven't seen it like that on any other show where people, ancillary cast members, have been able to kind of really embed themselves in the show. Like, I don't know the show without Nick and Royston.
I think the interesting thing about Nick and Royston as well, and I feel like, again, this is something that happens in Atlanta as well, is that, you know, when, is it the Chiron? Is that the technical term?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called, when the name plot comes up.
They started out as Dawn Ward's friends.
Yeah.
And then when Dawn left the show, they became Lystra's friends.
Yeah. And so can we say Lystra, also iconic, just physically
iconic.
Mentally.
Yeah, so I feel like they've also been afforded that sort of thing of like, even though the person who kind of brought them on the show, it has departed, they've still been kept, and they kind of get like shoved under somebody else. And I feel like even their alliances on the show have changed so much as well over the 20 years that this has been on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really nice of you to say that they've been together for 30 years, because I thought it'd been 100.
No, they've been together for a really long time. But one of the things that was, obviously they're a gay couple, and having them on the Pride special, it was 10 years since same-sex marriage was legalized in the UK. And Manchester Pride, like we've seen Mexico City Pride, we've been to a lot of Pride, I feel like, around the world, but Manchester Pride is also one of the biggest Pride festivals in the world. And I was just remembering that this was also when Ariana Grande performed, you know, a few years ago, and there was that like terrible attack that happened there and people were killed. Like it is so known as being this place. And so I thought it was really powerful that we were able to, like, they took us to Manchester Pride for this celebration.
So it's two parts. The first part was really about Pride itself, and then the second part was kind of the aftermath of what had happened at Pride, kind of thing. I mean, Tanya was back for this as well.
Tanya's mum. Speaking of mums of housewives.
Tanya's mum aging backwards.
Me Julie. doing the Vogue, the gimp mask. Like, the way we are giving you no context, Cheshire mum here, like, you need to watch Mijuli. She's amazing.
Yeah, it was just, it was truly like the who's who of like Cheshire Housewives. It was, and it was again that thing that I like to talk about a lot on this podcast. It's the, you know, when you don't show up to one of these like, you know, trips or whatever, and we realize how good the show is without you. It was like there was no Hannah, there was no Seema, there was no Sheena. Like, I hate to say it, but all of these people, like, I kind of like, I didn't care that they weren't there.
I do miss Sheena. I like her. I can't.
So why did she choose to be queerphobic and not show up to Pride?
That's the question we need to put to her.
Like Natasha, obviously, like, she just had a baby, but also, like, no excuse. Side note.
I'm sorry. She's part of Atomic Kitten. She's fine. She's done what she needs to do for the gays.
Paid her dues.
She's paid her dues.
Can I ask, though, side note, Natasha introduces us to her newborn daughter, Kitty.
Yeah.
Is it a bit self-serving to name your kid Kitty when you are from Atomic Kitten?
No. And at first I thought about it, but then I realized this is her fifth child and probably her last child. And so this was her final moment to do it.
Fair enough.
I actually really did think about that.
I didn't even put two and two together because I couldn't even remember where she was from.
Okay. But what I think I really like about Cheshire in particular is when they do sort of do these specials, I feel like they've done it before, or just the way it's filmed, like, this was really done, like, Housewives was just kind of the vehicle for celebrating a community that I think, you know, really supports Housewives, the concept in general, and a chance for them to kind of give back, because we also had like cameos. So one of my other favorite Instagram people is Love of Huns, the Huns Net, you know, there's a whole Instagram person. He does just like the best memes of like, British Hun culture, which is like all of your EastEnders. It's like people like your Laurens, like their Huns. And it gave him a platform to talk about what a Hun is and why they do it and the party that they support. But also going back to Nick and Royston, we've seen them in a lot of conflicts, but I thought it was really special for them to be talking about their relationship, because I think it is so rare to find two queer cis men who have been together for the 100 years that they've been together. You know, they've survived a lot of their friends. We just don't have queer elders. Like, that just in general is rare. But for them specifically to come out of very working class backgrounds and to actually have like this really positive story about just how supported and loved they were by their families, and like they say it themselves, they never had to come out because they were never in. Like, that is rare as fuck.
Do you sometimes forget which one's Nick and which one's Royston?
I normally do, but you know how they were doing the impressions? So there's who was it? Somebody on the show was doing impressions and they were like, oh, Royston. And then I instantly remembered which one was which. So Nick is like the one whose face looks better.
Yeah. So Nick told that really beautiful story as well about how like he wanted a Barbie and his dad bought it for him, and that, you know, his dad was this kind of like working class, you know, a man that you may stereotypically think that, you know, wouldn't want an effeminate son who's interested in playing with dolls and all the rest of it. But he actually, you know, supported, encouraged, and, you know, enabled, you know, Nick to follow his, you know, interests. So yeah, I think like they do have a really like beautiful story, and obviously very fitting for this episode. They went to the AIDS, the HIV like memorial, candlelit memorial vigil, again to sort of like shed light on this like thing of the fact that there are no elders in the community because of, or very few because of, you know, what happened in the late 80s, early 90s. So, they, you know, as much as, yeah, there was drama, there was fun, there's also this very like deep, serious, you know, opportunity to discuss a few things on the show, which I think is always great.
And I think one of the things that's really great is that they shared it with Lystra, because Lystra has had this journey where she is now, she now identifies, I think she actually just identifies as a lesbian. But Lystra very much came from like the world of being like this sex kitten pinup. You know, she's, I mean, she loves her body, you know, she's had all the things, but she is, I think, you know, she's like a doll the way she's been put together, and she's been put to, the way she's put herself together is very much male gaze specific. She also comes from this very religious Caribbean background where her family don't understand her queerness. And to see a woman who's like raised a daughter, who's been through all this, successful businesswoman in the last couple of years, to now be in a relationship with a woman and to be living her life out and proud, and to not have that history of, you know, all the people that have kind of struggled, for her to now be in a position to be out and proud the way she is, and for, you know, Nick and Royston to kind of be like, you need to, you should come with us to this, because this is who we are. We're a community, we're a family. And I was just like, it is like, this is the thing about Cheshire. They have these feuds, they're so unserious, but I think that when it comes to talking about things that are serious, they hit the nail on the head almost better than I think any other franchise does.
Lystra's bodysuits in this Pride special, insanity.
Not just the Pride issue, just in general, the clothes Lystra wears, I don't know where you would even get them from. She gets them from the same places that the travellers do. You know, the gypsy travellers, like some of the outfits.
I mean, her breasts and her buttocks are just out of this world.
Planet Moon. Like Larsa Pippen who?
Like Larsa Pippen looks like she's got no tits compared to Lystra.
Or boobs.
She's flat-chested. Like
chested, got no butt. Compared Kim Kardashian, no butt.
I think the one thing that I... that struck me in the Pride special, though, was that truly Empika is the MVP housewife on Cheshire. And I feel like, you know, she only lasted for the first five seasons, which seems criminal.
She was bullied out.
And she is the only one, like, moving the special along. She is an ally. She was like petting the pup. She was like dancing with the queers. Like she was doing all the things. She was like dressed in her, like, you know, pride.
Yeah, but I think when I look at Empika's clothes, she makes Giselle look good.
But that's part of the charm, Moshi.
Part of the charm.
She's got no issue getting right back into like the thick of the drama as well. Like, you know, talk about being bullied out. I think Nick and Royston had a lot to do with that. And so the fact that they reunited on this like Pride special as well, like it was just very poetic.
I think the thing about someone like Empika and actually all of the women on the show is that the ones that are on the show, they have real money. Like, nobody's renting. Everybody's owning their houses. I've never seen so many Rolls Royces and Bentleys in my entire life. Like, it is very much that culture. And the thing about Empika, she has like the old, like the same, you know, Rolls Royce that she had like 10 years ago or whatever, but it's a freaking Rolls Royce. But like, she doesn't need the show. And I think that's the thing of when you don't need the show, you float through it because nothing bothers you. And Empika has managed to not have the show for many seasons now, and she's still come back and they're bothered.
So bothered.
But do you not love, like, bringing Empika on, we suddenly learn a little bit more about the other women, because there's so much stuff that I never knew that Rachel used to have a job and that she had business. When Apika was referring to Rachel as the bin bag lady, that was hilarious to me. Do you know what I mean? It's suddenly like all these things that were hidden in the background that we didn't know, they're all coming out now. I think at some point Lauren had a job as well. You know, these women used to work. They hid it on the show. But Ampika knows where all the bodies are buried because Ampika has been there with most of them since the beginning.
And I love as well that, like, when they're, like, starting, like, to bring up the gossip about Ampika too, she's just, like, classic Cheshire bullshit. Like, you know, like, these things never happened. Like
do great. Your worst. All right.
Is there anything else about the prize special that you really loved?
I think overall it was a really good palate cleanser and I think, like, a really great way to introduce us to what season 17 was going to be about, because to your point, I think post-pandemic they were a little bit, or during the COVID of it all, they, because the pandemic is still happening, Mosh, they were a bit lost, but now that they've kind of gotten rid of the fat, sorry Hannah, goodbye, and the other girlies are really all on the same page. And I do think that the Pride special was the thing that brought them all back together. Like, it even brought Tanya back properly on the show.
So I want to just close that Pride special by saying, after watching it, I was like, okay, what if there was an actual, like, ultimate girls trip Cheshire, right? Who would be my dream cast?
Go on.
So if I had to choose six or so housewives to send, and they're going to, like, Alicante, Spain, or, like, somewhere like they usually do, it's Ampika.
Yeah.
Tanya.
Yeah.
Esther D.
Yeah.
Lystra.
Interesting. Okay.
Lauren.
Okay. Where's Wardy? You've got one more.
Dawn Ward.
Interesting. So mine would just be the original cast, the first season cast.
Wow.
Migali, I want, what was her name? I want Dawny there, even though I hate Dawn Ward.
I think you hate her, but, like, she has to be there.
I want Tanya. I want Leanne Brown, like, I especially want Leanne and Dawn Ward in the same room now because they hate each other. And I want them to have to confront Magali on how they bullied her and have to apologize to her face. But they've had some interesting women on that show. They've had, like, that model who ended up getting divorced from her husband afterwards and then hooked up with the guy that was from, like, the only way is Essex. Yeah, it's so crazy. Do you know what I want to also say about the Pride special? One person who I don't mind on the show, who I think is better than his wife, is Nicole's husband, Joe.
Joe's great.
He is fabulous. And I normally don't really do a house husband, but Nicole is so hard to like, and Joe is her only redeeming quality.
Can we go after dark for a second?
Oh, okay, go on.
First of all, Joe, like, telling Tanya's mom about glory holes.
Well, they went to the glory hole. It's the name of a bar.
But, like, just that whole, like, first of all, I'm like, Joe, like, why do you know about glory holes?
Joe's a man of the world.
I know he is. But two, like, I just know it's big.
Well, he's always flopping it out.
Correct.
I also think that, you know what it is? He knows how to have fun. Like, he does not take life too seriously. And he's actually more of a people person than Nicole is. But, I mean, he also is the one that took Mijuli out and she came back with the gimp mask. But it's very weird that we act like Julie is an innocent when her daughter used to basically pose naked in magazines, and that's how their family got money. So, like, come on.
But I think, again, this just speaks to the whole thing of, like, these people aren't from the aristocracy by any means, right?
Oh, no.
They are working class. They are like, you know, they are.
I actually hate saying working class like in a demeaning way. To me, they are salt of the earth people. They are true blue and they are the best kind of people.
I love that.
Love that too. Let's talk episode one of season 17.
Let's start off with the taglines.
Okay, go on.
Trash.
Yeah, at this point, when you've been on the show for 700 seasons, with and it's weird though, with AI there, it shouldn't be this hard.
Yeah, I think taglines in general, like we've reached saturation point, like there's only so many taglines that like can possibly exist.
Do you think we just get rid of taglines now?
Well, I feel like even, I mean, I hate to say it, like I'm married to medicine. Like, give me a song. Just give me their names.
Like, I mean, I'm like, oh my God, maybe this is the next phase. Like, let's talk about, like, do we just get rid of, like, taglines need to go.
Or we need to go, we need to return to tradition and do like an OC season one where it's just a clip of something that they randomly say during the season. Like Vicky Gumbelson's first tagline was, I don't want to get old, because that's like they're getting like the Botox.
Okay, so we're just doing the quotes.
Or like who was Vicky's assistant?
Joe. Was her name Joe? No, Joe was the other one that was married to that was with them.
The one that she was like broke and she had the son and the daughter and then she
Then she married the rich guy. Laurie?
Laurie. And hers was just like, are the police involved?
You know what, Patty? You need to pitch this to Andy. To Daddy Andy. You need to pitch this.
Yeah, these taglines are definitely not inspiring, nor do I ever think that, like, Cheshire has inspiring taglines, except for Lauren had a banger last season, and it was good because in this Pride special they reused, like, the season 16, like, intro, which is also stupid because, like, Seema and Hannah were in it. I'm like, they're not even, like, shown at all on this special. but, like... whatever she says, I can't remember, but she ends it as like, so lock me up and throw away the key. I'm just like, Lauren just like says the most random shit. Yeah, there was truly nothing great. It was all very cliche. I don't even think there's anything that like is worth calling out here.
Nah, they're rubbish.
I think the one thing I will say is like, Paige had a new take on a tagline, which was like, I've been called a princess, but that's just a queen in the making. Like, I feel like that was kind of fresh. It wasn't interesting, but it was fresh. I feel like I haven't gotten that from any other housewife before. Like, the rest of them that are like talking about like trends or attention seeking or like fighting or, you know, mind your business. Like, how many housewives have said mind your business in like so many different ways, you know?
You know what I do want, though, actually? I want taglines that are just actually weird and wrong. Like, okay, so I've started my Potomac watch. You know, I went the whole time. But I'm kind of obsessed with Karen's I'm not the fence. I don't ride the fence. I am the fence. You ride me. I don't know why, but like it brings tears to my. I like watch the opening credits every time because I just need to hear that tagline. It is so fucking dumb.
It makes no sense. Like, no sense. Why are we riding like, Karen? I don't know.
And she's like, ride me. It's like the sexual innuendo. Do you know what it is? It's like, it's your mum posting a meme on Facebook. Like, it is so like somebody trying to be cool and it just backfiring, and then it has this very random, you know, it's hot box, it's Sing Sing all over again. Like, what the fuck? So I just want like really inane taglines. I want taglines where they think it makes sense and it doesn't.
Like, you need Lauren's like tagline this season to be like, we're starting the season in a castle. Am I gonna get fucked by a ghost? Like, yes,
exactly what it is. Like,
these ladies take me to castles and I'm always getting fucked by the ghost.
Like, yeah. like, I get laid more than these women because the ghosts lay me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who said you can't have sex with a ghost? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you need to be so stupid.
I'll cheat on your man and his ghost. Like,
I'll cheat on your man, whether he's dead or alive. Like, I'll cheat with your man, whether he's dead or alive. Like, keep your granddaddies away from me, whether they're dead or alive. Like,
I always go to the cemetery for a good screw. Like,
you think this pastor,
I'm Cheshire Cemetery's biggest fan.
You think this castle's haunted? Wait till you see my pussy. They need to be so dumb. Oh no, I think
now they're getting weird because that's like, someone call Ghostbusters because I'm about to get pounded. Like,
but like, like my nickname is Ghostbuster. Do you know what I mean?
I don't do the ghostbusting. The ghosts bust me on me. Like,
I don't bust nuts. I bust ghosts. Ghosts are not ghosts. Okay. We need to end. We've tripped over into like some weird Patrizio After Dark now. But do you know what I mean? Like, if you're saying, like, I either think they need to go back to the weird quotes, just like no context housewives, or the taglines need to be unhinged. They need to be insane. Wow, I'm really proud because you know how bad I normally am at coming up with taglines, but apparently when it comes to being fucked by ghosts, I've got the taglines.
I need time to like finesse it, but like there needs to be like a Karen Huger fence riding tagline, like crossover with like a Lauren ghost busting tagline.
I'm not going to say the one that I just had because I am going to hell. It had to do with ancestors and Surrey County.
Anyway, the ladies have gone on a cast trip to kick off the season. Seema is hosting them in, like, as you said, this castle in Northern England. Like Lystra in a country town in the middle of like England is just the funniest concept to me because she's there in like zero clothes. They are like, and the very little clothes that she wears are like completely body hugging. There's one scene that like the headlights are on. Like, it's just...
the headlights are on consistently. Tanya's headlights are also on, and I think that is. Not just because it's cold. I think that is what happens with those types of boobies.
Oh, we find out that Seema's been up to quite a bit since last season. She's got new chompers.
She's lost her job. She's got new teeth. She's gone hardcore on the... I wonder if she always had veneers and now she's just upgraded because she's gone the full Cheshire veneer.
I mean, look, I love an in memoriam. Forever unique.
Who was buying those clothes anyway? I always assumed that Seema, like, remember how she used to have the fashion shows and stuff? I always assumed that they were more of like a wholesaler, an importer, and not a fashion brand, but apparently they were.
I mean, I feel like it was probably like the original, like, what is it? The Shein, you know, influencer, they just were purchasing designs and like hawking it as their brand or whatever. I mean, look, obviously, you know, she couldn't survive COVID. She couldn't make the crossover into leisure wear and, you know, comfy clothes for home or whatever it is. But like, I was kind of surprised to hear it. Because the interesting thing is, though, that to me, I mean, I think there's been a bit of time between filming between last season and this season. But I was kind of like, I don't know. I just feel like we didn't really get any sense that like the business was in trouble.
I don't know if the business was in trouble or like, I feel like maybe they got out early enough. And I don't know if you know this, but particularly in the UK, there's a lot of brands in the fast fashion world that are in trouble. So like Topshop, you know, one of the most premier brands in the UK, started folding years ago and went into administration. It's now owned by, and it's a lot of it has to do with like ASOS and those companies sort of coming in and owning the e-commerce world, because that's where all of those clothes kind of live. And so I just think that there isn't, and especially like you said, with unfortunately the Sheins of the world and stuff, there just isn't room for those companies. I think it was like Misguided as well is another one of those fast fashion brands that is like folded, but then you start to realize there's like a whole bunch of them and they're all just owned by the same people. And I think like they're the sorts of brands that like they can just close them down and then they can just start up another one. Do you know what I mean? But I do think with Seema, I think there's more to their business. So while I think Forever Unique is closed, I do think that they had, I feel confident in saying this, that they had more of a wholesale importing thing going on as well, which is I think where the money was really coming from, is that I think they deal more in like textiles and fabrics and importing stuff and actually supporting other fashion brands with getting their materials in. So like while that, I felt like always that brand was more of like a Seema passion project, that the larger business was a bit more involved. And I think, you know, they've got money. They've got kind of old money in a weird way.
Well, I mean, she had also started dipping her like feet into the Medi Spa scene as well, right? Because I feel like that was kind of like one of the like contentions between her and maybe it was Dawn Ward, that they were like opening like competing businesses. But it's sort of like this thing of like the women of Cheshire need to be like plumped. So I don't think there's any shortage of business. You know, Tanya's going like cycling through all of them, you know.
But I also think Ampika was the original, you know, she's an actual esthetician, she has those businesses, but it's the place. I think there's room for everyone in that business.
Absolutely. Speaking of Tanya, she is like back as a friend of, I feel like I think she kind of came in halfway through last season. I don't think she had like a proper full season, but like she's got the confessionals, like, and I feel like she's getting a lot of screen time for a friend of as well. I think it's definitely giving like a Jen Fessler, a Kathy Hilton, like she is like a Marisol or an Adriana kind of thing. She's as much of a housewife as the rest of them without actually having to hold, what do they hold in Cheshire?
Champagne? Normally or nothing. I don't think they hold anything. But I think the other reason why it's important for Tanya not to be a full-time housewife is she's quite ill. So she's not drinking anymore, and she's found over the span of her life that she suffers from really bad anxiety, right?
She has like ADHD as well or whatever, doesn't she?
Like everything. And I think it's the pressure of keeping up on that show. Like she's had to do so many things, like the fact that she doesn't drink and she doesn't do stuff. And I think, you know, we talk about this, but housewives who don't drink can tend to be a bit boring. And I think that by not being a housewife, it means that she can easily bow out of situations. She also has a relatively young family. Like she's still got quite young sons. So I think like she also needs to be at home more with her kids, especially at the moment. And her kids
though, Tanya is just so like hilarious. Correct. And dumb, and like, and dumb, I mean, in like a funny way. Like she just does dumb shit. Like she'll like always be falling over.
What did she call the charcuterie board? The posh buffet.
No, the buffet.
Yeah, the posh buffet. But like, She's no heir. She's not about heirs. Like, she's so funny. But I think they would have asked. I think, like, the show was suffering without her, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other friend of Paige has now been promoted to full-blown housewife. She's pregnant.
You know what I love most about this show is when Rachel Ludo is mad.
Okay, but here's my take. It's all fake for the cameras.
Yes and no. So I think that, so Rachel is one of the characters who, I wouldn't call her an OG, but she's been brought in a way and has been like a bit like Seema, not an OG, but they're kind of the new OGs. Like, they have taken over and they sort of have the seniority on the show.
They're veterans. I feel like there's OGs and there's veterans, right? Yeah. So Tanya is an OG, but like, yeah, like, and Lauren is an OG, but Rachel and Seema are veterans.
That is amazing. That's the best way to put it. But the thing is, what production has realized is that it's very easy to get under Rachel's skin. And when you get under Rachel's skin, it's very funny because it's so, she just comes off like a brat. Like, it's brilliant. And I agree with you that I don't think she hates Paige as much as she's let on. But I think her not knowing that Paige was going to come back was real. And that's what she didn't like. There's one thing about Rachel. I don't know why I'm like whispering at it, but like, Rachel hates not being in control because she thinks like she owns everything that's happening all the time. And I mean, it's two seasons in a row now that Seema has been evil. And I think, you know, I don't really like Seema, but if she's got to be on the show, I need her to be evil.
Yeah, I'm enjoying Seema like leaning in on the villain era for sure. Because I think, to be honest, I think she's always been a bit of a villain. She's kind of been one of these girls that, like, you know, will say that they're like a fence sitter. They want to be neutral and all the rest of it. But I don't think she's ever been completely innocent. Yeah, I don't. Seema, I agree. I don't vibe with Seema, but I'm like, you know, yeah. But she's going to be messy.
I think she's realized that she needs to be messy to stay on the show. And so, yeah, the thing that I like most about Paige is that she gets under Rachel's skin for no reason, like no reason at all. It's brilliant.
Because Paige called her grandma.
She is a grandma.
She called her grandma, brackets, derogatory.
And she is a grandma, brackets, derogatory. Like, none of it was a lie. Do you know what it is? Rachel is not, see, when they had Hannah, who was like the youngest person on the show for a really long time, Hannah has like old lady vibes, right? She's young, but she's like annoying. Like, there's nothing threatening about her. But someone like Paige coming on the show and potentially ushering a new era in, I think like Rachel is really worried about, now the show is going to be full of Paiges and I'm going to lose my job. Do you get what I mean? And Rachel really relies on housewives. So it's just that thing that we don't really see it on too many other franchises, because I feel like the veterans and OGs can generally handle it and the young kids get pushed out. But in this instance, it's really affecting Rachel that Paige is like this young girl, really gorgeous, very successful husband. I mean, she's married to the real fried chicken king, not Jessel. And I think it's triggering to Rachel, and it's so lovely.
This is very true. I don't know. I just, even Rachel, I'm kind of like, I feel like she had her time like three seasons ago. She's like done. If I was her, I would be worried about unemployment.
Swap her out with her sister and let's see if we can tell the difference.
Like, what happened to her sister? You
she's
know?
In Gibraltar and she's getting her mole removed. Remember? Cancerous mole from her face. So then they won't be identical twins anymore.
Okay, well, how many seasons did that happen?
Sorry, that's just how crazy this show is.
The one housewife that we weren't introduced to this episode, but I assume will happen next, is Elle. She's 26, Moshi.
Do you know what it is? She looks older.
I think it's that thing of like...
too tanned.
And she's had too much like work done early. Like, I feel like women who get like the Botox and stuff like at a very young age, I think it kind of has the opposite effect. I think kind of makes you look a lot older than you are rather than like younger.
There is also, I'm going to just say this, there is also something about being like really thin. Like plumpier people look younger.
Yeah, that's the collagen.
Right? And just like that sort of stick thin gauntness of Elle is... it does look
like... and she's smoking like a Dawn Ward pack a day.
100%. Yeah, I never would have thought she was 26. Whereas Paige could be like 35, but she'll look 22 forever in the best way possible, you know?
She is beautiful, Paige.
And you know what? She looks better pregnant. Like, I hate to say this, but like looking at her, last year I didn't really see it. She just looked basic, but... she's actually glowing in her pregnancy. Yes. Like, I can literally see it as very annoying.
We hate her for
it. I wanted to not like her, but then, like, I just saw her rock up and I was like, God, she's amazing.
But it is, until Paige shows up, it is a real, like, kumbaya. Like, the women are all kind of getting along. It almost seems like we have, like, a season of, like, no drama ahead of us. Oh. Even Nicole is kind of being, like, on good behavior, which is unheard of for Nicole.
Really unheard of. We've got some of the women eating cheese. The other women are getting injections in their bum, just the way I like it.
See, again, like... Sheena is getting the IV, and for whatever reason, Tanya's getting like the shot in the bum. Like, and I don't understand why or what it was.
Because she's getting all of the shots. So I think she was getting like probably an iron shot or something in her butt. But the way she knew that it had to go in her butt, that close up of her butt, do you see how hairy her butt was? If you go back and look, I don't mean like the crevice, the crack. I mean, like you could, they had the that so close to the skin. You could see like just the fuzz that we all have. And I really wasn't expecting it from Tanya. I was expecting her to be like fully waxed all over, you know? No peach fuzz. I was just shocked. I wasn't expecting it.
Was she? Well, you're going to go back. We're looking at her ass. I can't, what can I tell
you? It took the entire screen. I've got a very large television, Patrizio. It was
my goodness. The trailer for this upcoming season, though, Peekaboo is also back for this as a friend of. And again, I feel like she is leading the charge. It appears that she is hosting the cast trip this season as well. Again, this is another one where she's a friend of, she doesn't have to be a housewife, but she may as well be holding a whatever they hold, a Rolls Royce without needing to.
Because I think, because she is a veteran and she is...
she's an OG.
She's an OG and she's the richest. So I think with Pika, it's always about, let me show you what I've got.
I'm really happy because you know what it is as well? It's just how like her accent and how she talks as well. It adds to the charm.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that we haven't mentioned is that I feel like for a really long time, Cheshire had one of the most diverse casts.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just within the regions of the UK, but we have, you know, like Seema is like second or first generation Indian and her husband, and they had like, and a really traditional arranged marriage, but you wouldn't know it. They both grew up in Cheshire as well. And Pika also, I think, like has like Malaysian or something.
South Asian ancestry.
We had Megali very early on in the show who had come to the UK with her husband who came to play football. I want to say soccer, but, you know, we're talking about it's football. And there really was that mix. It was just the first time that we were seeing, I think, people of the world on a housewives franchise.
I mean, and even in the new era, you got Lystra and Sheena, both black women. I mean, you're forgetting a really obvious one here, Moshi.
Oh, enlighten me.
Lauren, she's orange.
That was the way I knew you were going to give me some bullshit. And so I wanted to know which one you were going to say. I was going to be like, say it, which one.
Can I just say on Lauren, I don't love her shade of red this season.
On her hair?
Yeah.
I was going to say on her skin.
I really love her with that, like, that Rihanna, only girl in the world era, like, red.
A bit darker.
Yeah, she's gone more orange. I'm not into it.
I think it's because it's just been done, but it'll get darker.
Yeah, and I like it when it, like, to me, her hair, actually, it's almost like a natural color, like, for hair. Like, it's like a, it's an orangey, whereas the red that she normally does is that, like, it's fake. Like, you know what I mean?
No, fair enough.
Is there anything else, Moshi?
I just think it's, I'm just glad that we're not in a complete drought, that we have a franchise to watch. That, yeah, that's how Girlie's back.
I think the thing I love most about Cheshire is just all the crazy things they say. Like, they're always going on, like, trips with the girlies. I love when people will ask if they're having a laugh or they're having a laugh.
I just want to also point out that in this season 17, episode 1, the cocktail making scene was classic Cheshire.
It was like insane.
Imagine you've been given a tutorial on how to make a 2-ingredient cocktail. 2 ingredients, Patrizio. And somehow they all fucked it up and almost poisoned themselves. None of them could drink. They didn't even know how to use a lemon squeezy thing. Like, Lauren was putting it completely wrong. To me, it was just like, this is amazing. These women are so out of touch because they only drink champagne.
The one that was like squeezing the lemon and it was like squirting out everywhere.
That was Lauren.
But into the cocktail shaker.
Oh, but when Lystra turned her back, like Lystra says to Lauren, that's enough gin, don't put any more gin. Lystra turns her back and then Lauren proceeds to put all the gin in Lystra's drink. Like, just that little hijinks during, I could watch that cocktail scene multiple times on repeat. It was so, like, nobody does it like them. And it's almost like 5 Sonyas, but without crossing the line.
Even the truth or dare segment as well, and they all had to come up with questions. And, like, Rachel's question was, like, where would you want to go on holiday?
They just don't get it. They just don't get it, but they do. Anyway, all of this is to say, if you've never watched The Real Housewives of Cheshire, don't worry about watching all of it. Just watch season 17, episode 1. It is hilarious. It's a laugh.
It is a laugh. And if you are, like, wanting to go all in, it is such an easy watch to get through. 17 seasons does sound, you know, daunting, but, like, when you truly get through it, and the early seasons are just so great as well. Like, it was one of the premier, like, Housewives franchises of its era, I feel. And even internationally, I feel like the only other international Housewives that truly stacks up to Cheshire is Melbourne, seasons like 1 to 4.
100%.
Well, Moshi, we've reached the end of another episode. Consistency is key. Another week. As always, we're on the Instagrams at From the Low Level Pod, sharing the stories, but not the April Fool's jokes. Rate, review, subscribe, ring the bell, tell your mum, put the QR code in the toilet stall.
The QR code? Who do you think we are?
Well, if people are invested, they can make the QR code to post it on this toilet stall.
That's actually a really good marketing strategy. Maybe we'll do some guerrilla marketing with the QR code.
It's always great having a laugh with you, Moshi.
Oh, I love having a laugh.
Until next week.
What do we say? Just bye.
We got nothing. These girlies give me nothing.
I don't even know what we're going to be talking about next week. Your guess is as good as ours.
Well, you know what? We won't be talking about Lauren fucking a ghost.
We might be, actually. You never know. Okay.
Goodbye, Moshi.
Bye.